Today's reading is from Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 34, the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still, others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Amen.
Thanks, Susan. Jesus had become popular. We saw last week that crowds had gathered from far and near to see what he was doing and to hear what he was saying. So big a crowd had gathered that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them. He taught them in parables. They were stories that people could relate to, stories that spoke about familiar everyday things that they understood, but that yet had deep meanings. There wouldn't have been anything very strange to the Israelites in this method of teaching. Not only does the Old Testament contain examples of similar parables used for instruction, but it seems to have been one of the favorite ways that the rabbis taught. Why did Jesus teach in parables? That's the question his disciples asked him when they were alone together. Sometimes I wonder if the disciples regretted asking Jesus questions because his answers were so often hard to understand. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, he told them. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. I think that's quite a difficult quote from the prophet Isaiah, but the translation from the Message is helpful. You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. But to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories, creating readiness, nudging them towards receptive insight. These are people whose eyes are open but don't see a thing, whose ears are open but don't understand a word, who avoid making an about face and getting forgiven. Doesn't that sound familiar? Don't we all know people who don't see, don't understand, maybe who refuse to see, refuse to understand, refuse to turn to Jesus for forgiveness? People who seem to be completely oblivious to the things that are so obvious to us. People who really need Jesus in their lives, but who are stubborn, who steadfastly refuse to listen and turn to him. But stories, as the Message puts it, create readiness, nudge people towards being open to receive Jesus. Our stories can do that too. Our stories, the stories of our lives, of our encounters with God, can be the words that nudge people towards salvation. But regardless of the response, God continues to speak to all men and women, longing that everyone would come to know his salvation, because the word of God is not hidden. Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed, said Jesus. Instead, don't you put it on its stand. A lamp is put somewhere to give light, not to hide it. And so Jesus, the light of the world, is meant to be revealed. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open, said Jesus. Or as the Message puts it, we're not keeping secrets, we're telling them. We're not hiding things, we're bringing them out into the open. Parables, intended to bring into the open what Jesus was trying to say to people, what he wanted them to hear and to understand. Consider carefully what you hear, said Jesus. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That's yet another hard-to-understand saying of Jesus. But we know that whoever takes the word of God to heart receives more understanding, receives more blessing. As you continue to receive the word of God, so you grow in your knowledge of him. But those who don't open their hearts to receive his word just become more and more confused. The more we accept the truth about Jesus, the more we receive. But if people don't respond to what little truth they may already know, then they find that even that little bit of truth is of no value to them. Parables were stories to begin the process of prizing open people's hearts. And so we turn to these three parables that speak about the kingdom of God and the sowing of seed. And the first parable speaks about people's reactions to what Jesus was saying. Listen, he said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they didn't bear grain. But still other seed fell on good ground, and it came up, grew, and produced a good crop. Last week, we saw that Jesus' family thought he was mad, and that the scribes and Pharisees thought he was bad. How was it that the scribes and Pharisees could so misrepresent Jesus? How was it that even his family could so totally fail to understand him? It was because of the spiritual condition of their hearts. We all have our prejudices, our preconceived ideas, our different thoughts and attitudes, and because hearts and minds differ, the word of God is received differently depending on the condition of the heart that hears it. Our hearts are like the soil. Each type of soil hears the word but reacts differently. Many people hear the message, hear that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who is bringing in the kingdom, but not everyone responds positively. Jesus explained it like this. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. They hear and forget. The word of God goes in one ear and out the other. Or like the seed sown on rocky places, some people are initially really enthusiastic, but because they're shallow, because they don't have any root in the word of God, as soon as things get a wee bit hard, they just fall away. Some people have too much else going on in their lives, all the stuff of life, trying to make money, the desires for other things that can come in and choke the word of God. But some people, like the seed sown on good ground, hear the word and accept it and are fruitful. So it was when Jesus taught and healed and performed miracles, and so it is now. Wherever and whenever the word of God is spoken, there are hard hearts, shallow hearts, over-cluttered hearts, and good hearts. One commentator describes it like this: speaking to some people is like trying to grow wheat in the outside lane of the motorway. To others, it's like trying to grow wheat in a 2-inch flower pot. And to still others, it's like trying to grow wheat in Brer Rabbit's briar patch. And isn't that what it's like sometimes, trying to witness to people? The parable of the sower speaks of our experience. Most of us have experienced cynical and dismissive reactions when we've tried to witness to others. Some people have seemed to be enthusiastic at first, but as soon as the gospel made any demands on them, they were off. Some did really seem to take the word of God to heart, but then allowed other things to take root in their hearts as well, things that turned them away from following Jesus. But here's the thing, because we are not responsible for the response from those to whom we try to share our faith, we can't do anything about the nature of the soil. The parable says nothing about ploughing, manuring, weeding, or even putting up a scarecrow to scare the birds. The sower in this parable is not responsible for the soil on which he sows. We are not responsible for the response of those to whom we witness. Success comes from God. As sowers, we can take no credit for any success that comes from our sowing. But neither should we beat ourselves up about any failure. We are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. But we are responsible for the kind of soil that we are. The parable isn't just about other people. It's about us too. And our lives sometimes so shallow that the word of God doesn't take root? Do problems in our lives sometimes take us away from a close relationship with Him? Or do we ever find ourselves in a place where the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful? We can't read this parable without allowing the words of Jesus to be a challenge to us. We need to guard the soil of our lives. But once the words of Jesus has been firmly planted in our lives, we can expect there to be fruit. We need to be patient while we wait for the harvest, but God is at work in us, even though we may not see it. As we've seen already, the next parable tells us that the farmer sows the seed and then gets on with his life while the seed sprouts and grows. All the farmer can do is leave everything to God while continuing his daily routine, waiting patiently until the grain is ready to be harvested. Just like I plant my amaryllis and wait to see what it will be like. And in the third parable in our passage, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. It is the tiniest of seeds, but it grows into the greatest of shrubs. How it does that is a mystery. I read that even modern scientific knowledge of the DNA structure of the mustard seed does not explain its incredible growth. like the seed that grows while the farmer gets on with his day-to-day life. The kingdom of God is growing. We look around us in this country, across the Western world, and it's easy to be discouraged as we see numbers of confessing Christians fall and our nation and others turning away from God's word and his values. But something is happening that we may not see now, but that will become fully visible in due course. Like a huge bush growing from a tiny seed, the word and work of Jesus is growing and spreading to reach every nation on earth. The kingdom of God is advancing. The prophet Isaiah said, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." We live in the in-between time, between the beginning when the seed of the kingdom of God was first sown and the end time when the final stage will be revealed and all God's purposes will be accomplished. For now, God's kingdom may lie hidden, but he is at work in the world in ways we do not know, and he will produce the harvest that he intends. And it does not depend on our feeble efforts. Success does not depend on us, but on God. Seeds have been sown everywhere, and we wait for God to do his will in his appointed time. The devotional thing that I use, Lectio 365, had this quotation on Friday. "The main thing is never to get discouraged at the slowness of people or results. People may not be articulate or active, but even so, we do not ever know the results or the effect on souls. We can only go ahead and work with happiness at whatever God sends us to do." Amen. And let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for seeds that are sown. And we thank you that over so many decades, seeds have been sown in the area that this church is in Ardler and St. Mary's and Strathmartin and Craigowl, so many seeds have been sown. And Lord, we pray for the harvest of lives that know you and love you and follow you. And Lord, we thank you for all the seeds sown in our lives. And we pray that day by day that would grow, that you would have your way within us, that you would grow us up spiritually, Lord, that we would become more like Jesus. So we pray for the seeds sown in your world, and we pray for the seeds sown in our hearts, in your precious name. Amen. And let's sing together again, "What gift of grace is Jesus our Redeemer?" That reminds us that it is not us, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And then George is coming to lead us in our prayer.